Persephone Theater's Young Company presents The New Adventures of Sheridan Holmes. Starring Tatenda Musindar as Dr. Watson. And Mika Fast as Sheridan Holmes.
Now, once again, listeners, it's time to keep our weekly appointment with our good friend and host, Dr. Watson. Good evening, Dr. Watson.
Good evening, Mrs. G. As usual, you're punctual to the minute. Pull up a chair and make yourself comfortable.
Oh, thank you.
That's it.
I see you have that old black tin dispatch box out again, Dr. Watson. I deduce that you were going over your notes for tonight's case.
Elementary, my dear. Among the records I came across, some notes of some cases that I'd almost forgotten. The shocking death of Crosby the banker, the adolescent tragedy, and some data on the usual contents of the ancient British king.
Oh, those stories sound pretty intriguing, Dr. Watson.
I shall tell them to you some other evening, Mrs. G. Tonight, I'm going to recount an adventure that took place in the heart of the beautiful English countryside. I call it The Case of the Tolling Bell. Well, that story began in an ancient country village of Cornforth. Miss Holmes had recently taken over from Sherlock and brought to a successful conclusion the affair of the Barrow and Furness murders, and we decided a few days' rest in nearby Cornforth would do us good before returning to our arduous life on Baker Street. We were staying in a small but comfortable inn. Only in the morning of the third day, I remember, Holmes and I were in our common room, waiting for the essentials without which an English country gentleman like myself could not start his day without an early morning cup of tea. As we sat there at the open window, a nearby church bell was tolling a funeral knell. There must be a funeral in the village, Holmes.
An astonishing deduction, Watson.
There's no need to make fun of me. Impressing sound, isn't it?
I suppose so. Has it ever occurred to you, Watson, that the history of bells is full of romantic interest?
Well, I can't say that I've thought much about it.
And almost every historical event has been accompanied by the sound of bells. They summoned soldiers to arms as well as Christians to church. They sounded the alarm in 512 Multan invasion. And many a bloody chapter in history has been rung in and out by bells.
Well, you seem to be a mind of information on this subject.
Yes, Watson, it's a fascinating subject.
Come in. Good morning, my dear.
Pardon me. I brought your tea, Mr. Holmes, and your shaving water, Mr. Watson. Mrs. Mickle said to say your breakfast will be ready in half an hour.
Splendid, Marian. Mary, the church bell is tolling a funeral knell. Do you know who's being buried?
That I do, sir. I wish it was me. It'll be my turn soon.
Poor little thing. I wonder what's the matter with her.
I have no idea.
Perhaps her father or mother just died. Or a young man. Yes, I bet that's it. She's a pretty girl. She'd obviously been crying when she came in. Perhaps that's her fiancé they're burying now.
Watson, you've the sentimental imagination of the true storyteller. But we've come here for a holiday. You must give your imagination a rest too. So drink your tea, remove your whiskers, and we'll go downstairs and investigate those kippers.
You like your kippers, gentlemen?
Excellent, Mrs. Mickle, excellent. Never eaten better.
Yes, indeed. By the way, Mrs. Mickle, we heard the funeral bell tolling earlier on. Do you know who is being buried?
Yes, I do. Two souls were being buried, and one of them was a murderer.
A murderer? Lord, in this peaceful village.
What happened, Mrs. Mickle?
Old Threadgold, the corn merchant, found out his wife had been gallivanting around with a young fellow from Bolton. Cut her throat, he did. And then he hanged himself.
Shocking.
Morty.
Thank you.
So the peaceful countryside is not as peaceful as it's made out to be, Holmes.
Thank that I frequently had occasion to point out to you, Watson. Has the morning post arrived yet, Mrs. Mickle?
Here comes old Gilly up the path with it now. I'll see if he's got anything for you.
A murder? What do you make of it, Holmes?
What is there to make of it, Watson? A jealous husband murders a faithless wife and then commits suicide. A tragic story, but a simple one.
Top of the morning to you, gentlemen.
Good morning, Gillian. Any letters for me today?
Aye, Miss Holmes. Two letters. One of them's got some newspaper clippings in it, I think. And you got a postcard from Mr. Lester. Wants you back in London bad, miss. There you are.
Pardon myself, Gilly. You've been reading Miss Holmes' private correspondence.
Bless your heart, Dr. Watson. If I didn't read other people's correspondence, how would I know what's going on in the village?
You are right, Gilly. It is newspaper clippings. And by the way, you heard about the murder of Mrs. Threadgold, I suppose?
Heard about it? I told the bell this morning at the funeral.
Do you say that you're the bell ringer as well as the postman?
Bless your heart. Yes, Doctor. President of the Choral Society, too, as well as being on the Perry's Council.
You're a busy man, Gillian.
That I am, ma'am. Take this afternoon now. I'm to ring those bells again.
Not another funeral, surely?
No, sir. A wedding this time.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it.
Young St. Perry is marrying the Slater girl, and you might say I'm responsible for bringing them together. Got some of their letters mixed up, I did. They looked each other up to exchange them, and presto, before you know what's happening, they're getting married. Regular Cupid, you might say I am.
Be off with you, Gilly. Other people want their letters. Miss Holmes doesn't want her kippers spoiled with your idle chatter.
All right, Mrs. Crabapples and Vinegar.
Ah.
One of these fine days you'll smile, and the whole world will come to an end. Good day to you.
Talkative old busybody he is. Oh, Miss Holmes, Miss Lackland's in the hall. The poor old lady is most anxious to talk to you.
Mrs. Lackland?
She has the seamstress shop on High Street. Her only son ran away from home a few months back. I think that's what she wants to speak to you about.
Oh, but my friend's here for a rest, Mrs. Mickle.
I told her that, Doctor, but she won't go away without seeing Mrs. Holmes.
Oh, very well. Ask her to come in, please, Mrs. Mickle.
Yes, Miss Holmes.
Oh, I do bother to see her, Holmes. Sounds like a trivial matter.
The disappearance of an only son can never be a trivial matter.
Well, I meant trivial for you, not for her.
This is Miss Sheridan Holmes and Dr. Watson, dear.
Thank you, Emmy. Good morning.
Good morning. Please sit down, Mrs. Lackland. That's it. Now what's the trouble?
It's Tom, miss. My only son. He left me 4 months ago and I've not seen the air and night of him since.
You've had no message from him since he left?
Not one word. I'm fair out of my mind, ma'am.
Have you any idea of his reasons for leaving the village, Mrs. Lackland?
None, ma'am. He was a good boy and he worked hard. He didn't fool around with those flibbertigibbet girls in the village. I think he's met with foul play, gentlemen, and I want you to find out about him for me, Miss Holmes. I've heard say in the village that you're the greatest detective in England. Or second, next to your uncle, that is.
Mrs. Lackland, I'd be glad to help you, but you've given me no clues to work with. I'm afraid that I
can't. If it's me money you want, I've got £20 in me postage savings. It's all yours if you can bring my Tommy home to me, or at least tell me he's safe.
Mrs. Lackland, I wouldn't dream of accepting a fee. However, I shall give your problem some thought. If I arrive at any conclusions, I'll get in touch with you at once.
God bless you, Miss Holmes. Good morning to you, miss. Sir.
Good day.
Good morning, Mrs. Lockland. Poor old thing. I don't see how you can help her, Holmes.
Nor do I at the moment. But a young man who has grown up in a small village like this may have led a life that his mother's totally unaware of. You said that you have to work on one of your stories today, Watson.
Yes, I have a letter from the editor of the Strand magazine yesterday requesting a manuscript as soon as possible.
Splendid. Then you must stay at the inn and work on your latest masterpiece while I scour the village to see what may be found about the missing young man.
There you are, Holmes. I was beginning to think you got lost.
Hello, Watson. I trust you had a profitable session with pen and paper?
I got about half a chapter. I would have done more if it hadn't been for those infernal bells.
The wedding ceremony that the worthy Gillian told us about this morning. Oh, I'm tired.
What did you find out about Mrs. Lachlan's son?
Among other things, that he had a secret love life unknown to his mother. And the object of his affections was none other than the maid who brought us our tea this morning.
Mary, did you talk to her?
No, it's her half day off and I was unable to find her. But I shall question her when she brings us our tea tomorrow morning. Come in, Mary.
Oh, Mrs. Mickle.
Good morning, Dr. Watson, Miss Holmes. Here's your tea and your shaving water. Oh, your shaving water and your tea.
Where's Mary this morning?
She didn't come to work. Must be ill again. Not a reliable girl. And no better than she ought to be, if you ask me. It's no job for me to be carrying tea and hot water upstairs.
I hear the village bell tolling for another funeral. Does Cornforth have a burial every morning? I really don't see how the population can run to it.
It's another suicide, sir.
Another suicide? Good Lord.
Old John Letterby, the baker. He was expecting some money from his son in Australia. It never came. And they foreclosed his shop. And then he hanged himself. Will you be wanting a couple of boiled eggs to your breakfast?
No. I haven't much of an appetite, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
That woman seems absolutely heartless. She almost smacks her lips when she tells us about these tragedies.
Yes, Watson, I noticed it. This peaceful village is beginning to seem strangely sinister to me. And since you have no appetite for breakfast, perhaps you'll join me in a little excursion.
Of course. Where are we going?
To see the maid Mary. I'm anxious to talk to her before another funeral bell begins to toll.
This must be the cottage home. They said it was the one with the honeysuckle all over the gate.
Yes, and there's Mary sitting on the porch.
She's got up. She's coming up the path to meet us.
Good morning, Mary. I'm sorry you're not feeling well.
Miss Holmes, Dr. Watson, why have you come here? Not to ask about my health. Why should a servant girl matter to find people like you?
Oh, you misjudged us, my dear. I assure you that we...
No, Watson, let's be honest and admit we didn't come here because of our concern for Mary's health.
Why did you come here?
Mrs. Lachlan asked me to try to find her son, Tom.
Tom?
Yes, Tom Lachlan. I thought you might be able to help me, Marion.
If I could help you, Miss Holmes, I'd be helping myself too. Here comes Gilly, the postman. Gilly, is there a letter for me today?
No, lass, there's nothing for you again.
There must be, Gilly. There must be there.
No, lass, if the letter would come, I'd bring it to you as fast as my legs would carry me. You know that. Morning, Miss Holmes, Dr. Watson. Left some letters at the inn for you, Doctor. You had a letter from a lady.
How did you know it was from a lady?
Reeked with the smell of violets, it did. And it was written in green ink on grey paper, sir.
Amazing deduction.
That sounds like your young friend from Dalis, Watson.
How did you know about... I mean, I don't have a young friend from Dalis, Watson.
Quite. Gilly, you told another funeral bell today, didn't you?
Aye, ma'am. And a tragic thing it was. Old Letterby hanged himself because he didn't get money from his son in Australia. I found him, I did. I was the one to cut him down. And right in me postbag was the letter he was waiting for. The letter that would have saved his life.
Great Scott. What a ghastly piece of irony.
That it was, sir. That it was. Well, I'll be on my way. Good day, Mary. Perhaps that letter will arrive tomorrow.
No. I'll never hear from Tom now. He's ashamed of me. That's why he deserted me.
Deserted you, Mary? You speak almost as if you were his wife.
I am his wife.
What?
We were married secretly in Rochdale 5 months ago. Come Tuesday.
And he never told his mother.
He was afraid to. She thought I was beneath him. Tom said he'd go away and get a good job and then return here and fetch me with him. He went away all right, but he never came back or sent me a word.
When he left, did he give no clues to his destination? No hints of any kind, Mary?
Wait. He did once say, Mary, I'm going to clear out to this puddle and make me a fortune, even if I have to bury it. And then he said, bury me, Fortune? Huh, that's a joke, isn't it? I don't know what he meant by it.
I think I do, Mary. Watson, we're taking a short train journey as soon as possible.
Oh? Where are we going? May I ask?
We're going to the town of Barry in search of this young lady's husband.
What makes you think Tom might be in Barry, Miss Holmes?
Because the famous Fortune Cotton Mills are in Barry. It would seem possible that when your husband joked of burying his fortune, he was talking of going to the mills there.
Wherever he's gone, he won't be coming back for me. I know that.
Now, now, now. Don't talk like that, my dear. Remember your friends, Mrs. Lockland. How much longer is Holmes going to be? She leaves me, standing outside the factory gates as if I were a blasted coachman. Ah, there she is, there she is. Holmes! Holmes!
Hello, Watson. Permit me to introduce you to Mr. Tom Lockland. Tom, this is Dr. Watson.
How do you do, Dr. Watson?
How do you do? Never mind how I do, young fellow, me lad. How do you do? Your behaviour has been absolutely shocking. Shocking.
Now, what are you talking about?
Leaving your dear old mother and deserting your pretty little bride because you're ashamed of her. You're a scoundrel, sir. You deserve a good horsewhipping, and I have a good mind to give it to you.
I don't know what you're talking about, Dr. Watson, but I don't like the words you use. And if it's violence you want, I don't mind telling you that I'm an amateur heavyweight champion of the country.
You are? Oh, no need to become aggressive.
No, let's waste time on being acrimonious, Watson. Let's get back to the station as fast as we can. The return of the prodigal is long overdue. We must give them every opportunity to kill the fatted calf.
Ah, there's Mary's house. I'm dying to see her.
And after this reunion, Tom, I suggest that you both go over and see your mother. I'm sure she'll forgive you.
Yes, Miss Holmes. I'll do that.
Perhaps we should have warned her. Your sudden appearance may be something of a shock.
I think it's a shock that Mary can handle. She must be out. The door's locked.
Knock again, if you don't mind. She may be asleep. Great heavens! That was a revolver shot!
Come on, Watson! Help me break in the door!
Now, Dr. Watson! That was a fine place to break off your story. You left me right on the edge of a cliff. Had the young girl shot herself?
She shot at herself, Mrs. G. But fortunately, her last-minute lack of courage had made her shot go wild. Holmes and I and the young bridegroom burst into the house and rescued the smoking revolver from her hand. I must confess the reunion between the two young lovers was a touching sight. In fact, I felt considerably older than I was as Holmes, and I stood there listening to Tom reassuring her.
Mary, darling, it's all right, I'm here.
Oh, Tom, you are. You did come back for me. I thought you never would. I tried to kill myself, but I hadn't the courage.
Oh, there, there, Mary. Everything's going to be all right now.
It will be, Tom, won't it? Oh, I'm so tired.
And now, Tom, I think the time has come to reassure Mary that you did write to her.
Of course I did, Mary, darling. I sent you money and told you I'd be back here to take you to Barry as soon as I saved up enough.
You wrote to me, Tom?
Twice a week. And I wrote to Mother, too.
Then why didn't I get the letters?
The answer to that should be obvious, my dear. Gilly the postman deliberately withheld them from you.
Gilly?
Great heavens. Why?
I have my suspicions. Strong suspicions. But I have to get proof. Tell me, Mary. The day before yesterday, Mr. Threadgold murdered his wife. Do you know how he learned of her infidelity?
Well, I'm not sure. But I did hear Mrs. Mickle say it was through some letters that got mixed up. The letters addressed to her were delivered to his office instead of at the house.
Gilly again.
Precisely. Surely the whole terrible pattern begins to take shape. Tom?
Yes, Miss Holmes.
I'm going to lay a trap to spring it, I shall need your assistance.
Of course. I'll do anything.
Wait here with Mary until darkness falls. Then muffle yourselves up and go to your mother's house. Wait there in hiding and let no outsider see you until you hear from me.
Since you two lovebirds have been separated for 4 months, I don't imagine that would be too unpleasant.
Quiet, Watson. You understand, Tom?
Yes, Miss Holmes.
Good. Come on, Watson.
What's your plan, Holmes?
I'll tell you as we go. One thing I can promise you, before the sun is very high tomorrow, I shall free this village from one of the most subtly evil powers I've ever come in contact with.
Good morning, Dr. Watson, Miss Holmes.
Good morning, Mrs. Mickle.
Good morning.
I've always said Mary was a no good girl. And now she's killed herself. But of course, I had to come to the funeral.
That's very charitable, Mrs. Mickle, I must say. In any case, the vicar says that the poor girl was unsound of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, madame, you can't blame her.
Well, I'll be getting into church.
Holmes, this farce is beginning to get on my nerves. What are we accomplishing by burying an empty coffin?
You'll soon see, old chap. Come on, let's slip into the vestry. This way.
Where are we going, Holmes?
Up the stairs that lead to the belfry. Here they are.
Well, supposing Gilly turns nasty when he finds out we know his secret?
Then we must handle him to the best of our ability, Watson.
Well, I must say, I do not relish the thought of a tussle high on the belfry of a church. The man must be insane.
Obviously, that's why his power must be destroyed. This door apparently leads to the belfry. Keep your wits about you, Watson. Good morning, Gilly.
Miss Holmes, Dr. Watson, you've come to see me at work. That's nice of you. Not often I get company up here.
We haven't come up here to see you at work, Gilly. We know of your diabolical work only too well.
Oh, yes, Gilly. We know your secret.
What secret's that?
You're mad with power, Gilly. You've tried to control the destiny of this village. In your position as postman, you thought you have the power to give life and death.
That I am, ma'am. And it's a great power. Makes a man feel good. Almost like a god, you might say.
That's sacrilege, you scoundrel. You were responsible for the murder of Mrs. Threadgold.
Aye, sir. That I was. And for the old man hanging himself.
You were responsible for John Letterby's suicide, weren't you?
That I was. Letterby tried to vote me off the village council. I'd swore I'd make him pay for it. And I did.
Your reign is over, Gillian. You'll never toll a bell again. The only one you'll hear will be a prison bell.
You can't touch me, Miss Holmes. You're nothing like your uncle. You've got no proof. There's nothing you can do.
Don't be too sure. I have enough influence to take your job away.
You'd take me away from me bells? I live for these bells. You wouldn't take me away from them.
You couldn't live without the power they give you, could you, Gilly?
You're trying to destroy me.
You are already destroyed, Gilly.
Yes, you've already failed. Mary's alive.
Alive? But the coffin they're burying down there.
It's full of stone. You'll be the laughing stock of the village, Gilly.
They'll never laugh at Gilly. You can't catch me, Miss Holmes. I'm beyond you still.
He's running up the ladder to the bell tower.
Come back, Gilly! Come back!
He's mad as a hatter.
Quiet.
What's he going to do up there? He might set fire to the steeple. Could make any madness. I'm going to fetch him, Holmes.
No, Watson! He drew a knife as he fled. And with that rickety staircase and the narrow opening leading into the bell chamber, you never stand a chance. He'd get you on the first ledge.
How are we going to get him down?
There's only one way. He's in a tiny loft containing his beloved bells. We'll see how much he loves them at close quarters. I doubt if even he can stand the noise in that confined space. Where's that bell rope?
Come down, Gilly. Come down from there.
Stop! Stop ringing me bell! Stop ringing them! I can't stand it!
Not until you come down, Gilly! You are mad, Gilly! Mad with power! Come down here, I say!
I'm coming!
Great heavens. He hurled himself out of the belfry. Holmes, he hasn't the chance of surviving that fall.
I had no intention of causing that unhappy man to jump to his death, Watson. Though I can't help but feel that his poor, demented mind may find a happier oblivion this way rather than in the confines of an asylum.
Yes, you're probably right, Holmes.
It's been a shocking case, Watson. Shocking. And once again it proves the old saying, the schemer falls into the pit which he digs for another.
Wow, what a knuckle biter. Now, Dr. Watson, what about next week?
Well, now, let me see what's left in here. Next week, I'll tell you a rather gruesome story about how Holmes saved the life and the sanity of a certain Count Romania. I called it The Adventure of the Carpathian Horror.
This is Mrs. G speaking for the Persephone Theatre's Young Company, inviting you to join us next week when we will bring you the sci-fi adventure, The Parade.
Tonight's new Sheridan Holmes adventure was adapted from Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's story, The Golden Pince-Nez, starring Mika Fast, Nicole Gillis, Jaden Gray, Jenna McLean, Tatenda Musinder, Gracie Van Thun, and Hannah Yee.